It was taught by landmarkers. It was something I learned and substantiated when I went back to the seminary, So I hope you understand what I'm going to present. I'm not going to try to make it complicated. I've told you many times that I believe there were a lot of people in churches where the candlestick had been removed. That's the one in Revelation. Because they taught false doctrine. And if you go around and check what all the churches believe, you'll be amazed at how many of them believe you have to be baptized. And it just isn't true. And I can understand why they believe that. And that's why I say there are a lot of people, now I won't say a lot, but there are some people in these churches that are saved. But immediately after they are saved, they immediately began a teaching of false doctrine. After you got saved, didn't you ever have any doubts about your salvation? I sure did. And I kept studying. So I'm going to talk about this falling from grace because I taught it when I first came up here a long time ago. But I asked Robert if he would sing that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And so let's go over to... Boy, my mind is all mixed up this morning. Oh. Hope I can finish this. Acts chapter 20. I hate these thin pages. Book of Acts, chapter 20, and verses 20 and 21, the words of the Apostle Paul. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house. The early churches were in houses. And they went from place to place. The members of the church also, I'm sure, to their own houses that weren't churches. And they taught this. They taught it publicly. They didn't make any hoorah about it. And they did it from house to house. Now, when they use, you see the word Greeks, it's Gentile. They're Gentiles. And it's the words that are interchangeable in the Bible. Yeah, they're Greeks, but Greeks were Gentiles. And so it really refers to people that are Jews and non-Jews, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance toward God. Repentance means to turn. You're going one way. It's metanoia. You're going one way, and he says, repentance toward God. Well, it was God that sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And Jesus said that he was sent by the Father. And so he said, and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Now, that's necessary to be saved. I didn't have any trouble with that. I knew I needed to be saved. You say, well, what was your main objective in being saved? I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't have to go to a seminary to learn that I needed, that I hadn't been to the seminary. I was about 12 years old, and I had no problem in realizing that there was something bad wrong with me. And I felt guilty all the time. And so I repented I don't know how many times. The song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. It indicates that things will grow very well. Happiness can be found when you turn your eyes upon Jesus. Paul said repentance toward God. A lot of people repent toward God all the time. Many have. But this is, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've never heard this before, I haven't taught it in some time, but I taught it when I first came up here. And sometimes it was not received with great joy. But it is truth, and it's an old landmark doctrine, and I am a landmarker. Now let's take a look over where Robert was in Philippians. Wonder if you've ever heard this before. Philippians, I agreed with everything he said. He gave a really good discourse, and I enjoyed it. He had his way of presenting it, which I think is better than mine. But I thought, well, I need to get him out for fellowship. So I'm going to do this and try to get him in there on time. He says that at the name of Jesus, well, let's look at this. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, that is Jesus, his Son, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore? Okay. You know him as your Savior. You put your faith in him. You trusted him. You repented toward God. And you didn't know much about Jesus. You sure didn't know as much as you know now, having been in this church for as long as you have. And I didn't know anything except Jesus loved me and died for me on the cross. And that was enough. It bothered me. Something was wrong, and I tried and tried and tried, but I just couldn't. Finally, I just gave up. And I indicated in my heart, I knew that was true. He said, wherefore? I didn't know what wherefore meant when I was 12 years old. Not very well, anyway. I was taught in school it was a conclusion, which is true. It's an inspired conclusion in the Bible. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out katergazeste. I'll tell you the precise meaning of the word. To carry something to an ultimate conclusion. I got saved when I was 12 years old. I'm just as saved now as I was then. Well, what's the first thing that happened to me after I got saved? I felt wonderful. I went home. There was no problem whatsoever. I was saved. And I told the preacher I was saved. I was saved. And I thought, well, my days of fear and trembling are over. No. They weren't. Because I still had a carnal nature. Now, what does it mean to fall from grace? We're going to talk about that. Many people associate falling from grace as means to fall from your salvation. That's not it. I've learned an awful lot about it. And God wanted me to go to that seminary. I'd had enough schooling. Lord have mercy, I'd been to so many schools. School. I didn't want to go to anymore. But it was what God wanted. I could tell. So when I went, they began to show me some things that preachers had taught down through the years. And I got to picking out what they preached based on how it fit the language. They were Missionary Baptist preachers. I love them dearly. Robert was blessed in that Robert went, you had a lot of good teachers. I know every one you talked about. He says, work out. Carry to an ultimate conclusion with fear and trembling. Well, I had fear and trembling after I was saved. I was scared to death I was going to teach something that was wrong. So I taught Sunday school. And he tells you why. Because it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Here's what the problem is in our churches. I know a lot of preachers that don't understand this. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You were saved by grace. You say, no, I was saved by grace through faith. You were saved by grace. So I'm going to try and take a scripture and show you something. It may make you think less of yourself. If you've been saved and following Jesus all these years because of your faith, I want you to know something about the scripture we all use, and I want to make it plain. I love it because I am completely indebted to Jesus Christ for my initial salvation, which was by grace and by what he has taught me about faith and whose faith I'm going to heaven on. M-I-N-E? No. H-I-S. His. I do not have any righteousness except that of Jesus. You know why he told Peter he needed to be converted? And then Peter said, well, how many times should we forgive? He said, 7 times 70, 490. Well, on the 490th time, he could just swap them. He told him that because he never stops forgiving. Well, what would have happened as a saved man, sealed, my soul sealed by God, if I didn't respond to his spirit? Who do you say, whose faith saved me? Mine? You don't have any righteousness of your own. You were saved by the faith of Christ. So it just pretty well drains you, doesn't it? You're completely dependent upon Christ. Who is Christ? He said, I and the Father are one. So let's take a look at this. And if you have any questions about it, don't hesitate to ask me after service. I have preached this here when I first came up here, and I've preached it several times. But there's a lot of Missionary Baptists don't understand this. And God breathed into the Adamus' nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God saves the soul. And he seals it. But what spirit did Christ have? The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. I was saved by the quickening spirit of God. You say, did you know that? No. We are so far out in the darkness when God saved us. He said that the Father, he said he was, the Father sent him. And he did. And we saw the difference between the Old Testament lack of mercy and compassion in the New Testament, which is a better covenant for that reason. He says, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children, disobedience. What was the first thing you were supposed to do after you got saved? Be baptized. Be baptized how? Well, Jesus walked over 50 miles to be baptized by the only man on the earth who had the authority, which is John the Baptist, who was born 6 months before Jesus was born. And then Jesus himself never baptized. He gave it to the local church. We shortchange ourselves. All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. He's the head of this church. He's the foundation of this church. And he's here right now. He's listening to every word I say. That's why I went back to school. I wanted to know, not what all the, how many churches do you have across this nation, across this earth? The book's that full of them. What's their major problem? Doctrine. You don't know how many times I've gone to churches. I've been to 100, 700 of them, actually, I think. And you don't know how many times I've heard this. Brother Michael Murray, I sure do like your blow up the world thing. I sure do like that. God's going to destroy the earth. And I just love that. And I'm glad you don't have time for doctrine. I put it in on the end of every message I ever preached. They had no idea what they were saying or what they were talking about. He said, children, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, dead, hath quickened us together with Christ. Who was Christ? He said, I and the Father are one. Quickened us together with Christ. Now notice why he puts this little thing in here. There's only one reason. He wanted to make sure he got this where people could understand it. He said, by grace are you saved. He said, by grace are you saved. Where's your faith? By grace you're saved. I was saved absolutely and completely by grace. And then he wanted to look me to look upon the face of his son. Repent toward God as they understood him. And look upon the faith of Christ, who one day we will see him as he is. But you were saved by grace. And hath raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I stumbled around and stumbled around and stumbled around. And I just kept thinking, well, I know I don't have any righteousness of my own. That's no problem. I know that. Riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Now look, notice he's already said, by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves, you say, well, that's talking about you had to have faith. I don't argue with that one bit. But until God's Spirit made you realize that it was a total, complete, never-ending thing that was done by the grace of God, and He sent Jesus to say, "Here I am." And He and the Father were one. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Who are you? Whose faith is He talking about? Whose faith is He talking about? It is the gift of God. It's a gift. It's a gift. You know why I'm going to heaven? Because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Do you know why I saw this? Because I repented toward God and put my faith in Jesus Christ. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What was my major problem after I got saved? Well, I had a lot of advice. Papa Mac said, "Well, Tom, we got to check this out and make sure that everything's scriptural and this and that." He was a landmarker. So I just said, okay. And I didn't get baptized till I was 23. What a miserable existence. Walking around, I believed I was going to heaven. You could say, "Are you going to heaven?" I'd say, "Yeah, sure, I am. I know I am." But I didn't realize the faith He's talking about here is the faith of Jesus Christ. That's why I can never lose it. It's not my faith. It's His faith. My faith is weak, but my spirit is willing. The Spirit of Christ lives in me. Did you notice, if you go through John 14, 15, and 16, He keeps saying, "You're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus in you. Christ is in the Father. You are in the Father. The Father is in you." He keeps going back and telling you that over and over and over again. I was saved by the faith of Christ. And then when I began to serve Him, and I got baptized, I could understand this. But I couldn't understand it until. And I thought, so I went back to school, to the seminary, just to learn what the Greek language said. So I wouldn't have to come up before Christ and say I misled anybody. He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Galatians 2:20. Here was my problem. And if you've been thinking that your faith had something to do with you being saved, it did. But after you finally learned what it was, you felt helpless. And that is just the way. When Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," so can I. And when I go to the throne of grace, I go boldly. I didn't until I got baptized, and then I began to follow Him. And when I began to follow Him, I understood I have the faith of the man Christ Jesus living in me. Who is He? He's the Father, He's the Son, the Holy Spirit. One God, found in the first verse of Genesis. So what can I say about my Savior? Well, when I got saved, I was crucified with Christ. I didn't know that. I just believed He died on the cross for my sins. That if I would call on Him, He'd keep His word, because He was the Lord. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Well, whose faith am I saved by? But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, who am I following? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I was saved by God's grace. Absolutely. But my salvation is maintained and kept by the same faith in the Son of David who was sinless. And the Son of God. So, I have now a faith. I don't worry about salvation. And when I go to the throne of grace, I don't mean I go up there boldly and say, give me somebody. No. I just go up there complete. I go up there in submission. I say, Lord, I've done it again. And there you go. That's what this is all about. It's giving praise to the Lord. It's giving praise to God. And so when you come across this thing about the faith of Jesus Christ, none of you could ever have attained, nor certainly not myself, nor any of these characters in the Bible, except Jesus Himself. No man born of flesh and blood could ever have kept the faith except God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So where does that leave me? Just where I want to be. Not having to worry about falling away from the faith. I'm not going to fall away from the faith. I was saved by the grace of God. I am kept by Jesus Christ living in me. He is God. So where does that leave you? Why is it that when you don't come to church regularly, you say, I sure hope He's not going to preach on that stuff again today about being faithful to the Lord. Well, I've just about quit that. Because it's a personal matter between you and the Lord. And there are many people that are saved. I suppose you might call them a family of God. But there is something that has to do with the inheritance. How much of the inheritance did Jesus obtain? All that God had. He obtained all of it. So, you're not going to get any of it if you're not saved. You say, well, you're just trying to get us to come to church. You think an old, tired, sick old man like me, who knows he doesn't have long to live, you think I'd do this for money? I finally learned to do what I do for the Lord and do all things without murmuring and disputings. And whatsoever you do it heartily from the soul, ekpsyche. And whatsoever you do it heartily from the soul and not unto men. I don't want your money. You say, well, we'll cut your pay. Well, that'll be just fine. And God wants you to not fall from grace. You know how you fall from grace? You quit coming to church. That's how. You cannot lose your salvation. But I wanted to tell this to you because the truth of the matter is, I would never have known this if God hadn't led me along the path that I've followed. I don't know how long I'm going to live. But when I come before the throne of God and Jesus, and I'm going to be judged, I will not be found as someone who did not glorify and praise God by telling you, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, worship Him, learn about Him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You get saved. He lifts the burden of sin off of you. You're not condemned anymore. Then He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He commanded to be baptized. It's not a saving ordinance. It's not a saving sacrament. It's an ordinance. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. But we spend our whole life running away from the truth. We say, well, I'm saved. Why should I go to church? And poor old preachers, I'm thinking sorry for myself, we have to stand up here and tell it to you. Well, at my age, I'm not going to be able to tell you much more. But it's all there in the Bible, and this is a landmark Missionary Baptist church, and I guarantee you this is where you're going to hear it. So, Kenneth, would you dismiss it?